Okay, and this is really an extension on what Charlene was talking about. So although recent literature does depict recruitment strategies for African American men and some concerns, as Charlene was just discussing, about recruitment strategies for parenting programs, there's still little known about recruiting African American non-residential fathers into research. So why is this important, right? Why do we care? Well, we care for a lot of the reasons that Dawn and Charlene discussed. You know, we're interested in supporting fathers, learning more about them, as well as in order to really support their families. But we're also interested because we are doing we're currently conducting a community-based randomized control trial called the Dedicated African American Dad Study. If you look at on your seat or at a seat near you, there's a lovely plugger here. This is a great opportunity to recruit. If you all know anyone who can potentially participate in this study, or if you're an organization that can connect us with referrals, we'll appreciate hearing from you. But it's called the Dedicated African American Dad Study. What we're doing is comparing the effects of Building Bridges to Fatherhood intervention to a financial literacy program that was developed for African American non-residential fathers. What we're doing is really the intervention itself, both the intervention and the comparison group, take place over a 12-week period, 9 sessions plus 1 booster. And how it works is the first 3 sessions are the fathers are coming to the groups. And then there's a break week where the dads have an opportunity to receive activity vouchers and go out into the community with their children and spend some great time with their children. And then another 3 weeks, the fathers come together in group conversations, as Dawn was talking about the units that the fathers go through. And then there's another break week. And then again, they come back for another 3 weeks of wonderful intervention conversation and comparison conversation. And then they also, again, go back for an activity voucher event. And then thereafter, there's a booster session that the fathers participate in. And so what we're trying to do is really recruit fathers so that there can be 12 to 15 fathers per condition. So this study entails a lot of pieces. There's a lot of things going on within the first few weeks within this study. We have to, first of all, locate fathers. Okay, we have to determine their eligibility. We have to interview them once they're deemed to be eligible. And then one of the wonderful, unique things about this study, we also have to inquire of the mother, the child's mother, and or guardian whether or not they are willing and interested in participating. We have to enroll them. They have to do the assessment. It's a lot of things going on within this participation timeline. So there's enrollment, there's engagement, there's recruitment, there's assessments, there's a lot going on for not just the dad, but also for the mother. So this, what we're going to discuss today is really the pre-randomization part of what we're doing. The pre-randomization means father has consented, has completed the research measures, and then we're also working through the process of recruiting, consenting, and having the mother complete research measures for this study. So the take-home message related to pre-randomization is, in order for the father to be completely enrolled in this study, the mother has to have been consented and also completed the baseline research measures. So there's a lot that's taking place in order for the dads to even be enrolled in the study. So as Charlene was discussing, there are important things to keep in mind in terms of recruiting African American men and African American fathers. And so we listened to the literature. We looked at what best practices, for lack of better words, for recruitment of African American non-residential fathers. Advertisement with images that match African American dads with their children. So if you see the little handy dandy plugger that I showed you earlier, we have pictures of fathers being connected and working with their child. We are marketing where the fathers live, work, socialize, where their children attend school, where they attend school. We're looking under every crevice, every rock, every place that we can possibly go to find these fathers, because at the end of the day, we can't just go to Austin community and say, okay, at that community organization, we'll find every single African American non-residential father in that place. right? We can't do that. We have to go wherever they can be, wherever they possibly can be. And then also, when you think about it, and I don't, within the literature that Charlene was talking about, one of the things within that particular article, it talks about how the fathers are like, well, tell our parents, tell our mothers, tell our cousins, so that they can, the word of mouth thing piece, get the information to us so that we can even know about the study, know about the research that's being conducted. And so we go everywhere, anywhere. As soon as we get a little idea of, well, let's try over here, we're trying to make connections, meet people, collaborate, really get with community organizations, really get with community events, different things that are going on with the community, how we show up and present ourselves so that other people and everyone can know what we're doing. But basically, our desire is to focus on the father. So not necessarily going to places that are specific, because we're not recruiting the moms, even though we are, because they do have to be a part of the study, but we're recruiting the fathers first, and the mothers just have to be able to agree to participate in order for the fathers to be fully enrolled. So I guess here's a side note. Like I said earlier, if you know anyone, or if your cousin, if your family, please, connect with us before you leave here today. So some additional recruitment efforts that we're doing. So we talk about passive. So we're distributing hard copy flyers when we see people wherever we go. We're distributing flyers with meeting with gatekeepers and meeting with people, community organization leaders. We're doing this hard copy as well as electronically distributing information. We have a clinical trials link where we are sending out emails with the link. We're sending out text messages with the link, just trying to advertise. We're doing, of course, face-to-face, active kind of getting in people's faces, per se, and just really letting them know what we're doing and what's going on and the benefits of the participation for the fathers, for the families, why we're in the process of what's the point, basically. We want to really get out there. The reason that we're doing this is to be a benefit to the African-American community through supporting fatherhood. And, of course, referrals. So, you know, a lot of times you go into organizations and they'll say, well, here, I'll make sure that I'll post the information. You can come speak at our organization for this particular event, as well as, you know, that particular organization down the street. I have a relationship with them. So here, go ahead and talk with them and let them know I sent you. We love that type of way of kind of connecting and getting to know the people in the community. So as I said earlier, we also need to speak to the mothers. So our recruitment efforts for the mothers, we have mother letter that is given to the mother and or mailed to the mother prior to her receiving contact from us. So the mother letter really speaks to what the study's about, why we're interested in including her and letting her know that we will be contacting her in the very near future, and for her to contact us if she's not interested in participating. So what we're doing for the mother recruitment is also allowing female research assistants to really be the ones who are contacting the mothers. We found with doing the interviews with the moms that they really seem to connect and really be open with talking to another female. So that's what we've have aligned right now for the mother interviews and mother assessments. And then we're also, we've found that we have to really be strategic about the messaging that has been developed to recruit mothers. And what that really entails is how, when there's an initial reluctance, because you have some mothers who answer the phone and say, absolutely, here, I can interview right now, or call me back on Tuesday at 2, I can complete the interview, I have no problems. Wonderful, we love when that happens, right? But we also have opportunities when the mother, you call, you text, and there's a long, drawn out time where maybe you don't get her, or maybe you do, and she says, well, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in participating. So we have to think on our feet, and number one, we have to get the mother on the phone, because that's the struggle often. And then we have to, when the mother gets on the phone and she says, you know, this is not something that I'm interested in doing for whatever reason, we have to really acknowledge her perspective and kind of try to validate her reasoning and her rationale and her thought process. And then also, at the end, we have to kind of really discuss the greater goal of the study, how we're really interested in benefiting her child, right? How we're really interested in hopefully getting at some of those issues that she's talking about. So that's kind of the messaging kind of pattern that we pull together to try to grab a hold of the moms, those reluctant moms who aren't initially interested in participating in this study. So the next few slides, I'm going to kind of give you some information related to some recruitment tools that we're using. Incentives, of course, we have the fathers receive a $40 gift card at the in-person interview for every single assessment time point, and there's three assessment time points. And then also when the fathers come to the groups, they have travel reimbursement, they have food, because of course you want to have someone come to a group in the evening time and not try to have some food available for them. And they also receive activity vouchers in order for them to spend time with their children during those break weeks that I spoke about earlier. And so then with the mothers, they also have a $40 gift card for every assessment time that they have. So I mean, it's a pretty good incentive to participation. And this particular tool, so you see the plugger, but this is what the actual flyer looks like that's on paper. So we have information about the eligibility criteria. We discuss what's really going on, what are we doing within this study, what are the commitment do the fathers have when they sign up to participate, and what are the benefits, right? And if you notice in the corner there is that QRC smart device. So we've utilized that for those people who have smart devices. They can go ahead and, you know, scan the QRC and then enter their information within the system, and we'll contact them. So that's another way that we've tried to include technology in order to recruit the fathers. Okay, and so this schedule is a opportunity for the dads at the time of the interview, at the time of when they're having their first interview. They will be provided with a schedule indicating when are the groups taking place, when are break weeks, so they know what to expect and they know where to be. And of course we have research assistants who contact the fathers at times to let them know when the groups, so we have constant reminders, but this is just a tool that we can use to make sure that the fathers have a hands-on information about when the groups are taking place. Okay, so like I said earlier, we are doing our best to go absolutely everywhere to explore and to express the study and let people know about what's going on. We are going into churches, we're going into community centers, we're going to sporting events, we're going to daycares, we're going to barbershops, all kinds of broad recruitment sites. So these next few slides are really just, when we look at the literature and it talks about best ways into recruiting African-American men into research and African-American fathers, it talks about really having personnel that are personable, who have strong personal relationship, kind of interpersonal relationships, people who look like them, right? People who are well-trained and able to really articulate what it is that the study entails. So that's what we have on our team. The literature also talks about building strong community partnerships, which is something that we are so desiring to do. You know, we would like to continue to work with other partners. We have Fathers Who Care. There's a lot of different people that we're reaching out to connect with and to build relationships with so that we can demonstrate what we're trying to do, but also allow them to know that we're, because earlier Charlene talked about trust, and I think that's probably one of the most important things to demonstrate even to the community leaders and to community organization leaders, is that we're here not to just be getting information, not to just say we have a study to complete, but we really are passionate about the work that we're doing so that we can support the African American community and we can support the fathers and the children at the end of the day. So administrative competence is another important tool to have when conducting research, right? And so what we've done twofolded. We have we utilize Access, Microsoft Access, to organize data entry for participant monitoring. So we have it's kind of small, but hopefully you guys can get a general gist. This is our home page currently. It changes so frequently, just so you know. Things are constantly being added and moved around. But this is our home page, and we're able to like click on participant information and have a list of information related to that particular father, click through and get information related to the mother. It's an excellent tool to be able to look through and identify what's going on with each individual participant. And so within our research assistant meetings, because we have three wonderful research assistants who are on primarily doing data collection as well as recruitment of our fathers. We realized that it was important for us to have a participant monitoring system, but it was also very much important for us to have a recruitment site type of monitoring system. So we have both of those things in, located in Access. Okay, so now I just want to quickly talk about some of the challenges that we've experienced in recruiting African-American non-residential fathers into the dedicated African-American dad study. One thing is getting in touch with the father after the father's eligibility has been determined. So sometimes people's numbers change. Sometimes you call someone and it is a struggle. You can call, and like we have a process, we call, we text, we email, because the fathers, we also receive email contact information when they are determined, their eligibility is determined. So we do all these things to try to locate them. So sometimes that's a challenge. Also, when we meet these fathers who say, yes, I have a child 2 to 5 years old. Yes, I self-identify as African American. Yes, I'm willing to participate in the program. Wonderful. And then we ask the question, okay, well, do you believe your child's mother or guardian would be interested in participating? And they say, nope, not at all. Don't think that's going to happen. So that's a very large challenge. And then we ask the question, okay, well, can we have the opportunity to contact her and utilize some of that messaging that we talked about earlier in terms of encouraging her to participate in this study? So that's a challenge. And then also we meet fathers who children are not yet 2. Yeah, that's a challenge, but that's okay, because we have a future pending, so we just collect their information and we will contact them when their child turns 2, so that we can hopefully redo their eligibility screening and also sign them up and interview them for the study. And then we have those conversations with the fathers who say, yeah, I would love to, but my child is older than 5 years old. So these are some challenges in recruiting fathers. Okay, so some challenges in recruiting mothers. So contacting the mother if the father does not have the mother's correct contact information. That is a big challenge, and we've done all kinds of things in terms of trying to figure out how to get the mother's contact information. Of course, we go back to the father and ask the father, is this correct? This is the information I have for the mother, is this correct? You know, but that's a big challenge, because if we interview the father, that's great. We have a way. He's given us consent to contact the mother. He believes that she'll be willing to participate. But then we get to the door where we're trying to contact the mother and we can't reach her. So that's a very big challenge. And also the mother not answering the phone. We call and text, and you know, we just aren't able to actually get her on the phone. And then also when you have the situations where there's difficult relationships, we make it on the mother on the phone, and then the mother says, oh no, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, he needs to be able to do something on his own. I don't want to support, you know, various different difficult relationship concerns that come up. Is also a challenge in recruiting the mothers. So going forward, we are doing our very best to increase advertisement. We are working on getting on the radio, getting on television, everything and anything in terms of mass media to help the word of mouth kind of situation, and doing the footwork, doing that, passing out the information, both passive and also active. And also, thank you all so much. And now that you all know about this wonderful study that we're doing, I hope you will be ever so willing to pass the word around. So, thank you.
So we have about 15 minutes or so for some questions, and so you can just ask the questions in direction to either one or the whole panel. So, do you have any questions?
My name is Denise Johnson. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I do a lot of work with the Healthy Birth Initiative, which is the only specific program targeting African-American pregnant women and families. So their program, funded by CDC, as you indicated, you know, focuses on the mother. However, there is a element in there where they're to do some work with the fathers. However, it's not funded. So we are part of the strategic planning committee where we're going to be focusing on male father and woman. So my first question is, are you ready to share this information? Is there an opportunity to have a conversation where we could perhaps pilot part of your work up in Oregon, in Portland? And also, is this information, I'm assuming, are your recruitment, does it need to be local? So is that something that maybe we could do cross-country? So that's my first question. The second is, why limit it to 2 to 5, that age? And is there thought around if the mother, the father really wants to be engaged, wants to be a part of the program? If you run into these issues with the mother, why are you requiring the mother to give consent when the father really wants to? To me, it seems like there's potential to make that relationship even worse if the father is wanting to be involved and the mother doesn't want to. Okay. So, thank you for answering.
You guys got any questions? Yeah, you got three.
I think so.
Okay.
Sorry, I hopefully my memory will, you might have to help me. So first and foremost, as I apologize earlier, Dr. Julian had a medical emergency and could not be here, but I believe she would be open to having conversations about, you know, looking at doing this elsewhere. I will say that right now this is an NIH-funded grant to test the effectiveness of the Building Bridges to Fatherhood program. So we want to make sure that this is effective, right, prior to implementation elsewhere. So I want to put that out there. However, I have a card and I can definitely put you in touch with Dr. Julian. So I'll say that at first. The fathers need to be local because they need to be able to attend one of our groups. And right now we are alternating between the west side and the south side of Chicago. And so we go back and forth having groups on the west side and having groups on the south side. And as we're having groups, we're recruiting for the opposite side of town. So the father needs to be local. However, the mother does not need to be local as long as the father has access to his child. So let's say the child lives out of state. However, the father is, you know, able to reach the child on the phone, able to Skype or FaceTime, able to get the child on a weekend or the summer, we are accepting those fathers into the program. And the third question has to do with something I think we've been grappling with in terms of, do we continue to enroll fathers when the mother is not consenting? And that's something that I think we struggle with. The reason that we do that is really because, and I shouldn't say that it's only the mother, it's actually the child, the primary caregiver of the child. So if the child lives with a grandmother or aunt, that's who we need the information from. And we do that over the phone. It is not a requirement that they come in person anywhere. And we do that because those child outcome measures are best answered by the person the child lives with primarily. So that's why we do that, because if we really want to say that, you know, this is an effective intervention on improving child outcomes, we need that information from the primary caregiver. In terms of the child being between 2 and 5, this program was born out of work that Dr. Julian had done previously with the Chicago parent program, which worked with preschool age children as well. And so I think that we want to narrow it and establish effectiveness with that age group before we expand to other age groups. I think I got them all. All right.
All right.
Thank you guys.
Definitely be a Dr. Julian question, but I believe it's Billingsley. That name is coming to mind in terms of one of the conceptual frameworks that it was a part of. So she started her dissertation work was actually developing the JIPI, which was the tool that measures paternal involvement. And so, looking at her work in terms of, I know she used some like ecological frameworks.
Okay. All right. Got it. Good morning. My name is Jay. I work with the Department of Health with the Start Project. And we're actually trying to do our fatherhood program at the moment. I want to know if there's a specific evidence-based
So the curriculum that we use is the curriculum that was for the Building Bridges to Fatherhood program, is the curriculum that Dr. Julian and the 12 African-American fathers created in order to, so what we're doing is testing whether that curriculum that was created specifically for non-residential African-American fathers is effective.
So the project is funded to test the effectiveness of the program that was created. And the purpose of the program is, or the purpose of the intervention, Building Bridges to Fatherhood is the name of it, is to increase paternal involvement, positive paternal involvement. So what we want to do is use this intervention to increase positive involvement of non-resident African American fathers of their preschool age children. So this one I will apologize for, because this was Dr. Julian's work, and that part has not been piloted yet. My understanding is it is for, they could have been like recently released, but really improving their involvement as well. And as you know, the disproportionate contact with African Americans and the criminal justice system, it makes sense that this is an important piece of it. However, the fathers that we are currently working with, they may or may not have a criminal justice background. So that wasn't part of our eligibility criteria. We do ask about it currently. So we'll have some data in terms of, you know, was this someone who was formally involved in the criminal justice system and they are included, but right now we haven't said you need to be involved or not involved. If you want to take a card, I can put you in touch with Dr. Julian in terms of providing some more information on that unit specifically, but we do have aspirations to, we had actually applied for some funding to start developing that piece as well.
Hi, I'm from UIC, Chicago Partnership for Health Promotion, and I'm our early childhood development coordinator. And we work a lot with the students and the teachers and the parents there at the preschool, so we definitely work with this age group. So we'll definitely be a voice. So I can talk to you all later about that. My question was, how long will you all be doing the study? So when does it expire?
First of all, thank you for that. We love the connection. we are recruiting 180 fathers. And we are at our second group. We're almost finished with our second group. We have a ways to go. We are funded till 2018. So we will be recruiting for a while.
Yes, absolutely. So
the actual process from consent to the actual data collection assessment time points is about an hour for the fathers, hour 15 minutes. And it's shorter because, of course, after they do the consent, the baseline, they don't have to do that afterwards. So after the second and third assessment time points is shorter than that. We've discussed Facebook. We would love to utilize Facebook. I know that when we spoke with our IRB regarding that, they were like, no go.